It was just 1 week ago today that the Golden State Warriors were celebrating their fourth world title in the 8 years. And a week goes by and all of a sudden we have a draft. That's what happens when your team goes this deep into the postseason. And in this case, wins a world championship. You have no time to breathe before all of a sudden the offseason is here and all the excitement that comes with that. And I've got Sam Ferris, one of the main hosts of Locked On, covering the draft, joining me next. We're going to break down, hopefully answer all the questions you have, break down any possibilities. There could be trades. There could be picks. We're going to try to delve into all that and more. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Sam Ferris at Draft Dummies. He is one of the hosts of Locked On's podcast dedicated to the NBA draft, the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. He's a credentialed NBA draft analyst. And on the down low, he actually loves the Warriors. Sam Ferris, you can follow him on Twitter again at Draft Dummies. I'm sorry. And I'm Cyrus Sauces. You can follow me on Twitter at Dog Surf Rocho. Sam, how are you doing? And, you know, before we started recording, I asked you, you know, I'm guessing in your position, this is the equivalent of tax season for an accountant. And you were like, I'm also an accountant. So you perfectly understand that metaphor.
Yeah.
How is life for you and leading up into the draft, which is just a day away from us right now?
I know it. Yeah, it's been a sprint, but I enjoy it. This is why we do this work year round. Like, the draft for me is another holiday. It's another Christmas. I love it. It's so much fun to spend so much time watching all these prospects. And then I also continue to follow them, you know, as rookies and sophomores. So I'm sure some of your listeners might follow me, but especially leading up to the draft that is now about to happen. But, you know, I'll be there at Summer League. I'll be there breaking down all the picks. We're going to do a lot of live stuff during the draft, actually, as well as a part of our network. So it's all systems go, all sprint right now. But I love it. This is what we've been kind of looking forward to.
Nice. And look, I've been covering this team for the Locked On Podcast Network now since, I believe, last November. And when your team goes as far as the Warriors have, winning the world championship, you're covering parades, it turns into just the time of your life in terms of being a podcast host, in this case, covering just pure good times, frivolities, partying. You have Parade Clay, a whole new moniker for Clay Thompson. And what one thing I have not had much time to do is research the draft. This is something that the previous 2 years I had a lot of time to research, and it was actually fun. You know, I do like scouting college players and you know, overseas players, G League players. So, you know, but this year I just haven't had time. I cannot sit here and tell you I'm an expert. That's why, Sam, I'm so excited and so happy you're joining me today. You know, Locked On had a mock draft a couple weeks ago, and I drafted for the Golden State Warriors Walker Kessler, a center for Auburn. But again, that was 2 weeks ago, and this draft seems to be very fluid. It seems, you know, all the pieces, all the players seem to be fluctuating very manically, almost, in terms of their value increasing, decreasing. It's almost like a skittish stock market. In your opinion, we're a day away. There's speculation that the Warriors might trade the pick, which actually, in my opinion, makes the most sense. But what do you think the Golden State Warriors are going to do when the draft pick goes to them, or before the draft starts tomorrow?
Yeah, I've seen, because I follow Anthony Slater, I follow all the Warriors guys as well. I've seen a little bit of both. I think Bob Myers spoke on Wednesday to the media. I heard some of that. There have been hints at the idea that they might trade the pick, which makes sense, but it also could make sense to get a cost-controlled young player to kind of mix in with the vets. Obviously, we know that we've got young players in the system already, guys like Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman, Poole, a lot of young talent. Do you want to add more to that? Do you want to trade the pick away? I think those are two different paths you can go on. And then, of course, the Warriors also, I believe, have two second round picks, which is kind of a separate discussion. But I think it's always fun to have a couple picks in the draft. Makes you want to watch the draft. You're excited to see what happens. Walker Kessler was interesting. I kind of thought that pick was interesting. Before I throw it back to you, I'll give you one fun stat on Kessler.
Please.
Since the stats been recorded in this database I use, he had the highest block rate in college basketball history last year. Just an elite shot blocker. So if you're looking at a guy to come in, play some center minutes that can absolutely protect the rim at a high level, Walker Kessler's your guy. The question is, you're looking at getting Wiseman minutes too. So is there minutes for him as well? But that's certainly an interesting option. He's going to be going kind of in that range into the first round tomorrow.
So I do you have a personal feeling? You know, the Warriors, I feel like, are masterful when it comes to controlling information that's disseminated to the public. You don't really see a lot of leaks coming out of their camp. And especially when it comes to the draft, I've rarely, if ever, seen any reporter, you know, any analyst really nail down what the Warriors are going to do with a later round pick. So I certainly am not expecting you to know what the Warriors are going to do with that pick tomorrow. But let's say they hold on to it. You know, I'm seeing some other names out there. I know the Warriors actually brought in EJ Liddell from Ohio State. I don't know if they brought him in. I don't know if they traveled, but they had a workout with him. I don't know if he's going to fall that far down in the draft, though. I've heard names like Jaden Hardy, Jake LaRavia. If you know, just from your personal experience, and I'm just strictly, this is an opinion question. There is no right or wrong answer here, but based on your coverage, being an expert with the NBA draft, who do you think, if they keep the pick, the Warriors are going to draft?
Okay, so this is a mix both of what I would like to see them do as well as the guy that I think I've seen them mocked to most frequently. You mentioned him, Jake LaRavia, out of Wake Forest, a three-year guy that started his career at Indiana State, but he's young. He's still only 20 years old. And to me, he fits kind of the Warriors' play style because he's 6'8", but he's very versatile. He's a good passer, good shooter, kind of has all those baseline perimeter skills with size, with youth. And so he just seems like a guy who can come in and play in that motion system in Golden State. To me, I have him as a top 20 prospect on my personal board. So I would think that would both be a great fit, but also great value. That would be the guy that I personally would like to see there. Wow. I'll give you a couple other names, and you may have seen these guys in the range as well. Actually, I'll lead with this. Anthony Slater today said that he's heard. Now, this could just be noise. It could just be a rumor. Like you said, they're good at controlling information.
Yeah.
But he said that a bigger point guard might be a guy they want to target. I saw him mention that today. So Andrew Nembhard would be the guy that would fit that description out of Gonzaga. And so LaRavia would be my guy. Looking at Slater's tweet, Andrew Nembhard could be an option. And we can go through a couple more if you'd like as well.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, let's do that after we pay some bills here. One of our longtime sponsors, you know them, Sam, as well, being a host here at Locked On, Bet Online. They're your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. And in fact, the folks over at Bet Online, Jimmy Shapiro, their president, who sends these great emails that I'm sure you also get, yeah. He's placed some odds for the top three, especially. And this is where I would love to get your thoughts and any prognostication. The first overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the favorite is Jabari Smith Jr. The favorite to be the second pick is Chet Holmgren. And again, Jabari is a minus 300 to be the first pick. Chet Holmgren minus 250 to be the second pick. And then Paolo Banchero is third at minus 275. Jane Ivey, by the way, and I love your thoughts on him too. We could touch on that real quick. He's the favorite to be the fourth pick at minus 150, but I'm hearing a lot of speculation that the Kings are not going to go with him. What are your thoughts on those odds? Do you think it's going to go in that order? And if not, where do you think these players will fall?
I do think it's most likely it goes in that order. It's kind of funny because Paolo Banchero's odds to go number one were so high a few days ago. And I tweeted out, I was like, this is actually like pretty good value. And then the odds plummeted the next day. Not saying I have that much say in it or that was influenced by me saying it, but I think other people saw that value as well. And so now I don't really see too much value there. I think it's most likely it goes in that order. All the noise, like Woj has even said, like it looks like Jabari Smith. And then I would expect Chet to go to OKC, Paolo to go three to Houston. Unless there's a trade, it could blow up. But then four is where it gets interesting because, like you said, rumors have been that, well, they might trade the pick, but they might also prefer Keegan Murray over Jaden Ivey.
Well, how do you feel about that? Like, I don't, this just seems to be like, it just sniffs of your typical Sacramento Kings bungle. Jaden Ivey looks like of all the top five players, he excites me the most. Do you like that idea? This notion that the Kings are going to go with either Keegan Murray or trade the pick, or do you like it?
No, I'm 100% with you. I think what's happening right now is the Kings are putting out all this noise, all this smoke, trying to drum up as much interest in their pick as possible to see if they can trade it. But for me, I'm 100% with you. I'd take Jaden Ivey. I tweeted this out today that to me, Jaden Ivey is closer to being the best prospect in this class than Keegan Murray is to Ivey. Like, there's a big gap for me there. Ivey has that explosive nuclear athleticism plus the skill to be a star guard in the NBA. Whereas I see Keegan Murray more as like a role player. And so I just don't think the value is there to take him as high as a number four.
Yeah, it just seems crazy to me that the Kings have a potential to build a really solid backcourt because I love Davion Mitchell. You know, I've mixed feelings on De'Aaron Fox, but hey, if you're going to be stuck with him, adding Ivy to that suddenly gives you a really dynamic backcourt. And for the Kings to just not be taking this seriously just blows my mind. Anyways, we're going to touch on that and so much more in just a minute. And by the way, you mentioned your Twitter account repeatedly, Sam. Again, people can follow Sam Ferris on Twitter at Draft Dummies. It feels weird saying that because I feel like every time I'm saying your Twitter account, I'm insulting you, Sam. So I apologize. But again, you can follow Sam on Twitter at Draft Dummies and Bet Online, again, a longtime sponsor of the program. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. They're your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And betonline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. Every show is going live on draft night. So join me 15 minutes after our pick at Locked On Warriors on YouTube for the immediate reaction from your local expert. Subscribe now to Locked On Warriors so you know when I go live. And Sam, you're obviously doing extensive coverage for Locked On and then some. You can follow Sam Ferris on Twitter at Draft Dummies. Again, you follow the, or again, you host the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Let's talk about those first three picks real quick before we shift back to the Warriors. Some people tweeted questions for you, Sam, but this is just my opinion. And the top three picks do not excite me. You know, I guess Balbinchero, I liked before the season started last year. I saw the hype. I saw him play at Duke. I feel like he could be a solid big in the NBA, but you know, Jabari Smith, I don't know much about, in all honesty. I'm curious to see what he looks like in the pros. Chet Holmgren, to me, I'm sorry, but I see that track record at Gonzaga. And, you know, there's been a lot of players coming out of that program who are always really hyped up, only to just, you know, lay a complete egg or just be like an average at best type player. I know the Kings, one of the main exceptions to that is Sabonis, but that's it. I can't really think of anyone else that's ever wowed me, you know, in the draft. And so to spend a number two pick on a guy like Chet Holmgren, who looks skinnier than Kevin Durant's ever been, it just gives me pause. I mean, Jaden Ivey looks good. am I totally crazy with that, with this thought? I mean, in the fact that, like, you know, the NBA is just really moving away from bigs, yet we have bigs as the first three prospects. I don't know, man. I'm just really not excited about this. Are you totally on a different page? Do you see at all where I'm coming from? What are your thoughts, Sam?
No, I see where you're coming from. And as a person that covers the draft year round, you know, we don't like to admit stuff like this, but I will agree with you. This draft is weaker than the drafts we've had in the last few years. And next year's draft projects to be much stronger as well. To put it in perspective, last year, the top three picks were Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, and Evan Mobley. I would clearly take all three of those guys before any of the guys in this class. I liked them all even more as prospects, and then they were fantastic as rookies. But in every draft, there's going to be guys that become all-stars. There's going to be guys that become role players. It's just a matter of going out and finding, scouting those guys and picking the guy that your team kind of zones in on. There's always value. Now, sounds like I'm a little bit higher on a couple of guys at the top. I do agree on Jaden Ivey. I like the top three. Again, I don't think they're as good as like the average number one pick that you would see in most drafts. So
right.
In that sense, I would agree with you.
Like, let's say the number one pick ends up being Jabari Smith Jr. to the Magic. Where would Jabari fall if he was in last year's draft? Because I feel like last year's draft was one of the deepest in the last 20 years. I was just really blown away all the way through the entire first round going to the second. There was just so much talent. Where would Jabari Smith fall if he was in last year's draft instead of this year's?
Yeah. So do you want to say, like, knowing what we know now about last year's prospects?
Yeah.
Or just like, so
both.
Okay. So for sure, Cade would go above him, Jalen Green above him, Evan Mobley above him, Scotty Barnes above him. And then you'd get into, I think it's close between he and Franz Wagner would be pretty close. He and Josh Giddey would be close. The main benefit to a guy like Jabari Smith is the versatility, the scalability. Like, his high-end outcome is actually kind of like a 6'10 Klay Thompson, where he's not as good as like a KD off the bounce, but in terms of a shooter at 6'10, he's one of the best there's ever been at his age. In college basketball last year as a freshman, he was basically like the best three-point shooter on heavy volume. So to do that as an 18-year-old in college, it is something you don't see that often. That combination of shooting and size at 6'10", but he also moves his feet really well on the perimeter and can defend. And so his high-end outcome is something like a bigger version of Klay. Now, it's hard to be as good of a perimeter defender as Klay was in his prime when you're 6'10". But that kind of that kind of versatile player where you can plug him in, you know, he can spread the floor, really shoot it, and he's going to defend. So while he doesn't have the superstar ceiling, he does have kind of that versatility where he can fit in anywhere really well, kind of like a Klay Thompson.
Well, that's you really sold them there. That makes me totally rethink entirely Jabari Smith Jr.'s value. If he could shoot nearly as well as Klay Thompson. When we in just a moment, we're going to shift back to the Warriors because they do have a few picks available to them. The first in their first round, they have the number 28 pick, two picks in the second round. I'm joined by Sam Ferris, one of the hosts of the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. You can follow him on Draft Dummies. And because you host the Locked On show, Sam, I'm guessing you know all about Built Bar, one of our longtime sponsors. What is your favorite flavor of Built Bar?
I just had the mud pie one the other day. That was good.
And?
I really liked it. I liked the cookies and cream. So those would probably be like my top two right now, I think, if I had to do the power rankings.
That's a solid, I think that was a solid 1-2 punch right there. My favorite, they came out with the granola, and there's one flavor, I think it's a chocolate peanut butter granola Built Bar. That is like hands down my favorite now, just because it's not quite as chewy as the other ones. And you get the little bits of granola in there. And Sam, as you know, Built Bars are amazing in the sense that they make you feel really full without a lot of the bad stuff that comes with most other snacks. And the worst bad thing possible is sugar, and most Built Bars on average only have 4 grams of it. And at the same time, Built Bars are packed with protein, and not just regular protein, but collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits. And again, for someone who loves to eat snacks that make you feel full, so you're not gorging and overeating, Built Bars are amazing for that. And each one on average is only 130 calories. It's incredible. Just go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15 and to get 15% off at built.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find podcasts. The first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey sports experts, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board, including Sam Ferris, who joins me right now. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. You can follow Sam Ferris on Twitter at Draft Dummies. You can follow me, sorry, that's just makes me laugh every time. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzels, on Twitter at Dog Surf Rocho. Let's shift back to the Warriors here for a second. If the Warriors decide to make a trade, which has been speculated, I believe Jeremy Wu of the Sports Illustrated has reported that the Warriors are attempting to trade the first pick, and it's understandable. This Warriors team is incredibly deep. I really can't think of another roster this deep in recent NBA history. It blows my mind that right now this team can go 11, 12 deep, especially if they bring back the core free agents that they're going to be looking to re-sign. It's one of the deepest teams I could think of in NBA history. It's that good. I think it's a huge reason why they won the World Championship. So I understand if the team wants to trade the first round pick, maybe get a first round pick back 3-4 years from now. This is a team that looks ahead clearly in terms of long-term planning, and maybe they see a certain time period where it's time to start getting first-round picks, and they might want to be trading this year's and next year's. They can't do both of those this year. Obviously, you can't trade consecutive first-round picks in the draft, but the point is maybe they just don't need players right now. If the Warriors make a trade, what can you see the Warriors doing? Like, do you see them getting cash considerations back? Would they get a first round pick in like 2025 back? In your mind, Sam, what would the Warriors trade that first round pick for?
Yeah, so it's a good point. Warriors right now have 3 picks, one at 28, which is kind of a good omen because Jordan Poole went 28th, and then yes, 2 second round picks. To your point, though, if they do trade the pick, I think it would be some type of they basically wouldn't want to use a roster spot on a rookie, another young player. And I certainly think it's unlikely they roster 3 rookies from this draft. So I think one of 2 things will happen. I think they'll at least trade one of the picks, likely for a future pick, like you said, or potentially in the second round, maybe they draft an international guy or a guy that they'll just stick kind of in the G League for a year or two and just say, go develop. We don't need you right now because we've got, like you said, a very deep team. But I think the Warriors want to use every roster spot, every dollar to retain Gary Payton, Kevon Looney, Otto Porter. Like, those are, let's be real, those are the priorities this offseason. So whatever they need to do to make that happen, I think they're going to do. I personally would enjoy seeing them infuse some more young talent at 28, but I wouldn't be surprised if especially one or two of those second round picks ends up getting dealt for like a future second.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. And that's, again, that was Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated reporting that the Warriors are at least attempting to trade that first round pick. No trade has been made yet. Bob Myers did comment that if they do make a trade, it would not be for salary reasons. It would not be for money saving reasons. With that number 28 pick, which, as you mentioned, they got Jordan Poole with that pick. They also had the 28 pick for Jacob Evans III, who currently plays for the Santa Cruz Warriors. Remains to be seen if he's ever going to have a future in the NBA. And if the Warriors right now, it's projected that if they do use that pick at number 28. It would cost the team $1.8 million, both for salary and against the cap. What do you see the Warriors doing with those second round picks? I know it's kind of an out there question. I doubt, you know, those players would be impactful, but at the same time, the Warriors, I mean, look, Draymond Green's a former second round pick. Eric Pascal, who for a brief moment looked like he had a future with this team, was a second round pick. This is a team that clearly drafts well. Like, what do you see them doing with that? I know you kind of touched on that just a moment ago, but if you don't mind expanding just a little more with these two picks, like, are they G Leaguers? Could you see them doing what they did with Justinian Jessup and Nico Mannion, which is send them overseas? Your thoughts on those second round picks?
Yeah, I think it's likely that at least one of them is traded or becomes an international stash just to not use the roster spot on them for right now. You gave two examples there. I could see that happening again. There are certainly options there. And frankly, the last 15 picks of the second round often end up being that, where it's guys that are stashed or guys that are going to be in the G League for a while. So I bet one of the two picks at least are used on that. But I'll throw you a few names of a guys that I would like to see the Warriors pick if they stay, please, for example, at like 51. So Jalen Williams out of Arkansas, his range could be anywhere from like 25 through the second round. Again, once you get past like the top 20 in the draft, it gets fluid. There's guys that rise and fall. It's hard to exactly predict. But Jalen Williams was a center at Arkansas. He's got a pretty modern perimeter skill set offensively, but a good positional defender who's a good passer offensively too. And so I like his ability to come off the bench and play either the four or the five and give you some versatility there. And just that modern skill set and that IQ that he plays with feels like a Warriors pick to me, and I like him more than the consensus. To me, he should be a first round pick. If he drops, he feels like a Warriors-y type selection there. So that would be one I'd be excited about. And then I'll throw a couple more guys in there. Justin Lewis is a four out of Marquette this past year, who had a good season. 6'7.5", 7'2.5" wingspan. So a modern wing who produced at a high level. Because he played at Marquette and didn't have like a big NCAA tournament or anything, his name didn't catch on nationally, but he's got the skill set as a modern 3-4 that hopefully can switch and can dribble, pass, shoot. To me, he's a guy that, you know, you see that frame and that skill set as a modern wing in the second round. That's another name I would keep my eye on. So Justin Lewis, Jalen Williams are two guys that I would like to see the Warriors pick in that second round slot. But we're talking about a second round pick. They could pick any of, you know, like 30 guys at that spot. So it's very, very kind of difficult to pinpoint a certain prospect.
Dude, I love your microphone, by the way. That thing's a monster. It sounds great, too. Sam, in your opinion, when I think of teams that just have phenomenal scouting departments and the results show based on just how solid the draft picks are, I'm thinking of like the Golden State Warriors. I'm thinking of like the Memphis Grizzlies, the San Antonio Spurs. What are teams like that doing right that a team like, let's say, the New York Knicks are doing wrong? Like, what are they investing in, or how are they allocating their resources? In your opinion, what differentiates good scouting departments from bad scouting departments?
Yeah, it's a tough question, because the draft at a certain point is a bit of a crapshoot, and it's like, if you get one draft really right, if you draft a star, then you can mess up four drafts in a row and it's okay because you drafted the star. And right. So like, it's just such a small sample size of an exercise that it's like, it's difficult to predict. But like you said, the Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Warriors have done well in the past. I think what they do is maximize around the fringes. They target guys that fit their profile or their analytic department. They have guys in the second round that they're going to go after. And it seems like in the margins, whether it's undrafted or second round, they're not finding stars necessarily, but they're finding guys that are going to contribute and are going to play. And teams do that different ways, but we've seen the Raptors, Grizzlies, a lot of you throughout there, the Spurs, just find guys that can contribute and be role players on the fringes, undrafted, second round. That's frankly a skill that a lot of teams don't really have.
It's incredible. It's just, like, I feel like if I was the GM of a team, one of the first things I would invest heavily in is making sure my scouting department is the best in the game, because that is the formula for success for the Golden State Warriors, especially. I mean, they have a dynasty in large part because of how well they've drafted, starting with Larry Riley, leading into the Bob Myers administration. You know, the Warriors have some young players on the roster. James Wiseman, he's going to be in his third year next year. Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody are now in their second years coming up. You've seen these players now play for a year or two. In your opinion, are the Warriors excited? Should they be excited about these players? Is there cause for concern, especially given Wiseman missed all of last year? Your thoughts on these three really young pieces for the Warriors?
I mean, there's certainly cause to be excited. We saw a lot of bright glimpses last year. With Wiseman, I temper my expectations just because of the fact that he's missed so much time now. Going back to high school at Memphis, he only played a few games in college, and it's just difficult to kind of replace those reps that you miss early on in your career. And so, like, to have missed that much time, especially from injury, now the potential is there as a 7-plus footer with athleticism and some ball skill, and he was a good high school player. There's a reason he was drafted, but we do see guys fail, and because of the injuries, because of the missed time, it's a possibility. I'm really excited to see him play at Summer League. Today they said they expect him to play there. I will be there watching every game, so if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see my Summer League reports. I'm even more excited about Kuminga and Moody. Moody's a guy that I've always been especially high on. I think his ability to shoot, his feel, as a modern wing, he just fit the Warriors system. So I was very excited when he got drafted. And then Kuminga, you find a guy that is that athletic, that has that pedigree, and you can hopefully infuse that with the skill the Warriors had. It's a really bright future, and not many teams have been able to kind of balance the timeline, but not many teams have Steph Curry either, right? So
exactly.
They made it happen, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So
you're absolutely right. All three of those players are going to be playing, or at least they're expected to play in the Summer League taking place in Las Vegas. Kevin Dana, who comes on the show each week, he calls the games for the Warriors in the Summer League, and he's been doing his research as well. Locked On Warriors will be doing a live show tomorrow covering the draft. I'll be joining. Sam, are you hosting that whole setup, the draft show that Locked On is doing, that I'm going to be jumping on for a few minutes before I host the Locked On Warriors?
Yep. Yeah, I'll be in there breaking down the pick. So hopefully I get to talk about the Warriors pick. Maybe it'll be one of the guys we talked about. Maybe not. But it'll be fun either way.
Absolutely, man. And again, it's just one of those things, Dub Nation, where Bob Myers has earned your trust. I mean, his department's been incredible. His success rate is impeccable. Before we go, I feel like I've answered everyone's Twitter questions except for one. This comes from a Twitter user named childish_edbino. Eduardo Ruiz is his name. He asks, thoughts on potentially drafting Christian Koloko if the Warriors keep their pick? I am not familiar with him. Your thoughts on Christian Koloko?
Yeah, I'm looking at a mock right now where he goes 35. So I would say it might be slightly a reach to take him at 28. But if you like him there, go ahead and take him. There's a chance, depending on... So he's a center out of Arizona. Depending on how the center market goes, depending where kind of the centers projected above him land, maybe he does slide down in the second round and you have a chance to nab him. Athletic, big, 7-footer out of Arizona, can protect the rim. And so he's kind of, you know, that general center skill set. But the hope is, and there have been video of him in workouts expanding out to the 3-point line. So a lot of people that have seen him work out believe that that's a possibility. So if you believe in Christian Koloko, you believe in the defense, the athleticism, and then if the shot can come around from three, then we're certainly talking about a rotation center in the NBA. And anytime you can get a rotation player in the second round, you're doing well.
There you go. And before I let you go, Sam, and again, you can follow Sam Ferris on Twitter at Draft Dummies. You do a phenomenal job with the Locked On Podcast Network. One of the hosts of the Locked On NBA Big Board. I believe you were you a part of that when Chad Ford was there? I know he won like awards with his draft coverage. Were you part of that, or were you like a successor?
A bit of both. I've been here like about a year and a half now, maybe. So it's been a while. It's been great. We've taken over for Chad Ford. Hopefully we can continue to do well, but we've enjoyed it. We enjoy doing it around, and it all leads up to this. So if you want to follow me and see some of the stats, my thoughts on prospects, a lot of clips, both this year and then following the rookies next year, I'll be there at Summer League as well. So I'll give you reports on the Warriors players there. I'm looking forward to all of it, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, Sam, it's a absolute thank you. Thank you, man, for taking the time out to join me. And so how can people watch you tomorrow once the NBA draft starts? Is it 5 p.m. Pacific that it starts? Do not quote me on that. You would know, not me. But what time does it start, and how can people watch the coverage where I'm going to be hopefully joining you with the 28th pick?
5 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah, I always get that mixed up because I'm Mountain Time. 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And the links will be out there. Like you said, we're going to be doing reactions to all the picks. We're going to have both the draft guys, so me and the other guys that I do the NBA Big Board podcast with, and then the host of every individual team will come on with us, break down the pick, talk about it. So the draft's always going to be awesome, and I'm excited to do this breakdown with all of you guys tomorrow.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm excited too, man. And again, I'll be blasting it on Twitter. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, at Doxurf Roadshow. Sam Ferris will be blasting it on his Twitter account, at Draft Dummies. And you can follow Locked On Warriors at Locked On Dubs. Folks, again, I'll see you tomorrow. We'll be doing a live show after the Warriors make their pick. I'll be first jumping on with Sam and the rest of the crew with Locked On, and then we'll be hosting a live edition of Locked On Warriors here. Sam, great to meet you, man. Thank you so much for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure picking your brain and learning some exciting things about the draft tomorrow, man. It's just this is happening so fast. It's literally been a week today that the Warriors won the world championship, and I feel rushed, man, like jumping into the draft so fast, but here we are, man. You got to follow the schedule. So here we go. Anyways. All right, brother. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. Thank you. Take care. Appreciate it. Later.